Welcome to episode 6 of Tradition and Transition, a 6-part podcast series exploring the voice of a new Israel. In each episode, your host Alejandro Cohen and co-host Chris Kissel will explore the creative process and the path of Israeli artists in discovering and finding their identity in a nation that is young yet holds ancient traditions as part of its heritage. On this last episode, we catch up with Chen Moskoman Moscovici, a musician, producer, and one of the pioneers of the electronic sound that currently rules the underground in Tel Aviv. He also runs an influential label called Disco Halal that mixes traditional electronic sounds with international flavors. We talk to Moskoman about the multicultural milieu of modern Israel, the huge influence of New Wave on contemporary Israeli music, and his take on Israel's place in the world of music.
Hey, Moscow, how's it going today?
Great, how are you?
Great.
It's good to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You have one of the most diverse resumes, one of the most interesting resumes of Israeli artists that we've encountered in this project, and I wanted to ask you, first of all, you have a very cool label that you run called Disco Halal, where you have all kinds of great contemporary artists and Israeli artists as well. And there's a lot of, you know, at least from what I've heard and seen, you know, a fusing of some sounds of the Middle East with this really distinctive electronic sound that you and some artists that you've worked with have developed. So I'm curious, you know, sort of if that is something that you, you know, I think it's apparent in the name, but if that's something that you sort of set out to do when you started that label.
I mean, it was a very natural thing because usually when you start a label, you look around you and you look, you know, you see your friends, and most of the people that are releasing, I mean, all of the people that released and releasing on the album are very close friends of mine. Turns out, because I'm Israeli, so, you know, usually most of your friends are Israeli, but not all of them, because there's also Mehmet Aslan on there and Acid Arab, which are French, and now Simple Symmetry, which are from Moscow. And I think the sound, I think the Middle Eastern sound is embedded in us at some point. We're originally also from Europe, you know, before our family came to Israel. But I think the more you are in the Mediterranean, the more the Middle Eastern kind of vibes sticks into you, and it seems like very natural. And it's like pretty much like I tell most of the people about how I select the music and what music, you know, I like to release. It's pretty much music that I like.
Yeah.
So I can't say it's all Mediterranean or Middle Eastern or however you want to call it, but I'm guessing a lot of it is because it is what it is, because the people that make the music make it. It sounds like this. It's a certain, if you look at it in the music terminology, it's like you know, a scale, a certain scale, which is very easy on our ears to play it. Also, when I create the music, also it has this, you go to this note that nobody goes to usually. Right. Now a lot of people are going to it, you know, it's an open world, but you know, in the past people would have done music that is distinctive for each area that it comes from.
Yeah, well, that's so interesting. Well, we've been talking to Israeli artists who are based in Tel Aviv, but you, for the last several years, have been based in Berlin.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, you know, with that perspective in mind, this sort of, you know, for lack of a better word, Middle Eastern tinged perspective that you have, you know, do you think that you're coming from that differently being from Berlin, or is that, are you really looking at that purely from an Israeli perspective?
Of the label itself, or
sure, or even just, you know, your perspective on you know, developing that kind of music.
I try not. I mean, it's a very diaspora kind of vibe that you're away to be drawn again to the sounds, because I'm guessing in Israel itself to release at the beginning this kind of Middle Eastern edits, I don't think I would have done it, to be honest. But being in Berlin and getting to a point that people send you music and you start to play this kind of music, and it's like, oh, I miss this kind of thing, but this is the only thing I miss about the area, you know, this sounds. So it was very, this was very also, again, this was very like natural kind of, you know, it's happening, just let it happen in this kind of way. And the fact that I'm living in Berlin was made it way easier than if I would have been in Israel to get to a wider audience, you know, because this is pretty much the center of electronic music today.
Right.
It seems to me, it's almost a pattern that, you know, I've noticed from other artists from around the world that sometimes it takes moving away from home in order to appreciate what you had back there. Maybe that's a bit what you're describing in your case.
Yeah, it's this, and also to be honest, it's to get appreciated also for who you are, because when you're zooming out a little bit, other people can respect it the same thing, so you can do stuff that are very important to you and stuff that do matter. Yes. When you are in a close scene like in Tel Aviv, which is an amazing scene, but to be honest, now as much as I'm traveling and everywhere I am, it's the same thing. You know, local artists always struggle, you know, to create something of their own. It's a very, very, very hard task. Yes. And the fact that you are in a bigger pool, you know, you have this wide like variety of stuff that you can choose from, and people can focus, you know, on what you do and not like only, you know, okay, because in Tel Aviv everybody's friends and, you know, and Moscow is doing this and this guy is doing this and this guy is doing this. When you're in this, you know, when you look at it in this kind of way, there's not a place to grow, you know. It's like you're always going to be stuck, and the fact that people are moving out, first, getting new perspective of what they like, mm-hmm. because they're not just trying to succeed. Because when you're in, you're trying to succeed outside, you know. And yes. when you're out, you're trying that the people inside will appreciate you.
Exactly.
So it gets to a point that you open yourself and you're yourself, which is way easier than to be in a certain place and the eyes are always on you, you know. So yeah. I find myself very lucky because I am part of the Tel Aviv scene, and I am one of their, you know, one of its pillars now at these days.
Yes.
And I do go there a lot, but I'm not part of the swamp, which is, you know, being in a small scene.
Yeah.
Because I can do way more for the scene from the outside.
Do you think, in a way, also in Israel, tends to always look to the outside for inspiration, meaning like influences from the U.S., from Europe, and maybe that is more a little more appreciated there than the local music? And it takes someone like you that moves out to being like, you know, actually what we have back home is an interesting thing. Do you think that's the case in the case of Israel? They tend to look more towards the outside?
Yeah. If you want the harsh truth, it's everywhere like this. You see it when people bring artists from outside all the time. But in Israel, I think we look at it differently. It's because you know, we are as good, and it's always been like this, but nobody ever like shone a spotlight on it and like look at us and like, look, these guys are very good, you know?
Yeah,
and I think the fact that, as you said, it's a very young country and there is no history.
Exactly. I mean, no, that's my point. Is almost trying to form a collective voice as a country that it only takes years, decades, you know, to form that identity.
Yeah, of course we don't have the American history of music
or even Europe. I mean, America is also a young country compared to, you know, European countries. Yeah,
but at the end of it, all music came from here.
Yeah.
You know, except classical music, which is a European thing. I'm guessing all contemporary music came from the US.
Yeah.
At some point. I just think that, you know, Israel is a very, very interesting place. It has all the attributes of most of the countries in the world. From the US till whatever, Iran, you know, this is the kind of people that are living there, because nobody is a local.
Yes. You know,
at the end of it, it's a very, now everybody is a local, but the mind state are not local, you know. So you always everybody misses the outside, you
yes.
know, and it translates by the food. There's no Israeli food, but there is now there is an Israeli food, which is all the food, you know, that everybody brought.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
It's like a mix of everything. So it's the same thing about music. There's no Israeli music. But if you hear 60s, it sounds like Beatles, but just better. Way more Russian, and, you know, it's like Russian people doing Beatles, so it has this kind of Russian scales and Middle Eastern scales, that people came from Yemen and people came from Morocco. And this kind of, like, the 80s sounds very European, kind of new beat Belgium stuff. And now it sounds like, you know, again, from everywhere else. But if you look at it like directly, it has its own sound.
Yes.
Because it sounds like everything else. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, I understand. It's a subtle change. It's a subtle thing. But when you listen closely, you're saying it's uniquely Israeli.
Yeah, it is. It took a lot of time to people in Tel Aviv to understand it. Because I'll take our scene, which is pretty small. And me and Red Excess are friends for a long, long time. And when we started to make music and we wanted to do this kind of, you know, that time was like this. Either it was like deep house or this kind of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, progressive, tech house, whatever, house music. And this, we were playing stuff, of course, but this wasn't our stuff that we wanted to create. And there were always these advisors that tell us, you got to do sounds like, to sound more like them, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And this will help you to succeed. And I was always telling them that, listen, that it's a wheel. At some point, they will come to us.
Exactly.
This is our music. This is what we do. At some point, you know, we will get the people to listen to what we're doing. Because if you're going to sound like somebody else, they will choose the somebody else. You know, because they're already doing it and it sounds great.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you don't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, why listen to a copy of it when you can listen to the original? So you might as well become that original by doing your own thing.
Yeah, so it makes you... So this looking outside is a good thing because you know how to find yourself in it.
What were the elements of your music, would you say, from your perspective, that really made your music distinctly Israeli?
Guitars. First of all,
yeah,
which is not weren't stuff that's been used in a club kind of way, which is a very disco kind of vibes, but not because it's more like new wave, but the Israeli new wave had exactly this. If you listen to music like Minimal Compact and this kind of stuff, it was new wave, but in a Middle Eastern kind of way. So, like I said before, musically it was different scales than the European new wave. Which was very major. This was very like minor kind of pentatonic scales, and you know, the Israeli one. So I think we're highly influenced by it, and plus we're DJs, so you know, we're super influenced by techno and this kind of stuff. But we could never create like a techno tune which has no like other level in it. You know,
yeah,
it's a personal thing. It's not like we don't like it, but I don't think we can. Physically,
right.
You know, it's like I don't want to talk to for other people, but if people ask me, you have your they always say you have your own sound, and I ask them, is it a good thing or a bad thing that I have my own sound? Because in my mind, I try to do something, you know, I hear a track and I'm saying, all right, I want to do something like that, and it comes out sounding like me.
Right.
So you know, in my mind, I could be failing about it.
Well, yeah, that was exactly. It's interesting. That was exactly what I was about to bring. The word failing, right? And in a way, yeah. Do you think one of the strengths in finding your own sound, and even go as far as Israel finding its own sound in contemporary music or in music influenced by U.S. and Europe? Do you think failing in a way, quote unquote, you know, a very big emphasis on that, failing at imitating those things allowed you to find your own style in a sense?
Yeah, we can, if you air quote it, then yeah.
No, yeah, you know what I mean. It's
I'm always
meaning like being true to really just coming out who you are, you know, what your background is, what your history, what the history of the country is.
Exactly.
So failing is not the appropriate word, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It's not succeeding to be who you're not that makes you who you are. Yeah, you can say it like that.
I like it. T-shirt.
I think it's gonna be pretty long for a T-shirt.
Cool.
Well, it's good. Maybe two sides.
Yeah,
but I think I'm always thinking about the Turkish music that we love so much. You know, now, like the 70s music. I mean, it's Motown. Mm. You know, it sounds like Motown, but in right. Turkey, but nobody understands it. They try to sound disco, you know, this real disco Motown sound or Stax kind of vibe, you know. There were clans there also, you know, that each went to this dark kind of new, like new Deutsche Welle kind of vibe, or, you know, and they, but it's all Turkish music, you know, that they put on these patterns. I think today it's also, we progressed over, you know, after it, you know, we're way after it, and now everything is a big mix, and you know, it's very difficult to really distinct what comes from where. When you hear it as a whole, you know, when you, like I said before, when you shine a light on it and you hear it as a whole, it's okay, there is a sound. But I'm sure if there was like one track here that you would listen, one track there, one this, you wouldn't connect it together, you know, as a scene, as one scene.
Yeah. Well,
but we are lucky enough to produce a lot of music, you know, and release a lot of music, which is either if it's remixes or original music, or, and, you know, and we play a lot, and so the sound is very distinctive.
Right.
Is that just to these songs understand better, and by now Chris and I understand these things, but it's also something we want to kind of dispel these myths or just put it out there. I mean, at the beginning of this series, when we started interviewing other artists, you know, the understanding of Israel is that everyone is Jewish there. Everyone is essentially like a very homogeneous community. And then we came to find out that, in fact, it's not at all. It's very diverse, and there isn't a there isn't a sense of a Jewish identity in the sense of a religious point of view, right? What is your take on that? Do you think there is any of that at all? Or for you, it's like, no, we just happen to be more Israelis than Jewish. There's such thing as that?
To be more Israeli than Jewish?
Yeah, I mean, what's your take on
that? I think this old Judaism kind of vibes, and it's funny because I was just telling my girlfriend yesterday, we were here in Miami, and we went to eat at some deli, and I told her, like, this is what I'm missing in Israel, because Israel progressed over this Judaism already. It's a very progressed place, and this stuff that you find here in Miami, in New York, in parts of LA, you know, and in Montreal and Toronto, and this kind of big places with Jewish communities, you know, that you can say, all right, these people are stuck in time if you come from Israel.
Yeah.
So I think you can say, you're right about what you're saying, because now everybody's Israeli. You know, we don't call each other Jews. I would never go to and you know, how do you say it? Sorry, I lost the word. Like, introduce myself. Hi, I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
Because I'm Israeli. I'm not Jewish. I'm not looking at myself as Jewish. I am like moderately conservative when it comes to Judaism. I do celebrate high holidays. You know, I do fast. But it's a personal thing. It's not about, you know, being a part of a big collective when you're from Israel. Because most of the people in Israel are secular, you know. It's not about that anymore, about being Jewish. When you're in Israel, of course.
I mean, I guess part of what we are totally ignorant about, but curious about, is, you know, in a country where most people are Jewish, and the country was sort of founded culturally on the idea of being a Jewish country, do you think in 2017, do Jewish ideas or just Jewish culture, I mean, do they even in less overt ways work their way into what the kind of art that people are creating in Tel Aviv, you know, especially musically?
I don't think so. I don't think that's part of the, I think it's a very, for us also, it's a very novelty kind of thing, you know? The thing, that's what I'm saying, especially when you travel outside, all this, it looks like a very commercialization of being Jewish, you know, in a lot of places.
Yeah, yes.
Which is all right. I feel this, keeping this old faith, you know, first believes, as I said, it's a personal thing. I don't see it as a collective thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being a Jew is a minority in this world. And it is something special that should be preserved, you know, not in a political way, but as a heritage, you know, like every other heritage that's going on in this world. And I just don't see, I do see, if you think about music, I do see a lot of this klezmer kind of vibes, you know, happening back, which is very Baltic, you know, you can see it as a Baltic music. Or Balkan kind of music, you know, which is very klezmer vibes. That's happening. That there is, but again, it's very easy to become a niche when you do this kind of stuff. You know, when you think about it, it's not, because the reality is that Israel, it's a super American place. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean due to the politics and the funding that you get from the U.S. Correct.
Yes, and the fact that all the TV is American, and you want to be like in TV. You know, it's a very natural thing for most of the people.
Yeah,
most of the people don't study in universities and have their own. They're part of a big herd or whatever you want to call it. Also here in the U.S., so the biggest music in Israel is reggaeton. You know, like everywhere else in the world.
That's so funny.
I know.
That's what people listen to, reggaeton. When you want to hear it, then you want to kill yourself. But still,
you know,
but this is it. And you come here to Miami, it's the same thing, different language.
Yeah. You know? No, I have a friend that it's from this most southern tip of Argentina, right? It's the last, you know, like just right at the end of the continent, right? In Ushuaia. And it's a tiny, it's a small town. It's the end of pretty much the world, you know?
Yeah.
And she was telling me that there's clubs there, and you go to the club, and he said, what are they playing, those clubs? You're going to think it's going to be some exotic thing, some of their own crazy thing. That is like, no, they have reggaeton clubs, you know? Like, God damn it.
They go listen to, and they call it salsa, you know? They go to salsa.
Yeah, I know, but it's just funny. You're like, you go to the end of the world, and it's just, they're you know, they're just playing the most common thing that you could find. And you're like, come on, man, you're so far away. You could have found your own weird
Cause
stuff.
Because it's the one that's outside that will die alone in the cold, man. It's not the one that's inside. So everybody's trying to be together.
Exactly.
And today it's reggaeton. Yesterday it was, I don't know, it was EDM. And the day before it was rock or pop or R&B or it's always changing.
Yeah,
you know, one day it will be our music.
That's true. The underground becomes the mainstream.
This is what it is. Underground becomes commercial, become the mainstream.
Yeah,
and then there's a place for it, but people are sad about it. I'm not. It just means there is a new place, you know, for stuff in the underground.
Yes,
you know, you clear the space, because when the underground is too big, because now the underground is pretty big. You know,
yeah.
People like this, you know, but they look. You look at big DJs like Dixon and this kind of stuff, and they're huge. My mother know who it is, but he's playing underground music, you know.
Yeah.
So something here is off. You know, there's no counterculture, you know, when the underground is like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about that, when you said and soon that, you know, in the future, it'll be our turn to be that, you know, to be the next reggaeton or the next EDM and all that. Bringing that idea, you know, to a more, not kind of as jokey, but in a sense, do you sense something of like Israel coming to a place where you see Israel, at least if it's if only momentarily, being the center stage of the world's music scene, you know, just as Berlin was or is at a moment, or Seattle here in the U.S. was, or, you know, different ends of the world take that moment for a minute.
I like to be full of ego and said, yes, we're going to be the biggest. But to be honest, it's pretty small, the place. And also the amount of artists is not that big.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a bunch of foreigners to come and create this.
Well,
what you see about Seattle, no, but what you see about Berlin, it's all about the people from the outside that made this happen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for example, just to give you an example, like you have Iceland, for example, and you have people like Bjork, you have people like Sigur Rós that came through, and all of a sudden they, even though they're not a lot of artists, it's a handful, they have such a strong voice that even momentarily they become, you know, the world puts all their eyes on them, you know, and they're like, oh, what's happening in that corner of the planet? Do you think there's something that you foresee happening in Israel in the future?
I hope so, because I see super talented people. Like I could say about my friends, like Red Excess and Otarki, and they could be huge in the pop scene also. You know, of course, in their own way, because they're not, none of us are compromising about our beliefs and what we want, because we don't really care about the compromise, you know, to compromise and to make more money or stuff like that. Yeah. And I think all of these people that you said about Bjork, Sigur Rós, and if you look at the LCD Sound System and everybody that's big in the like kind of electronic pop, call it, or indie, whatever you want to call it now. And so nobody compromised. And I think they have a chance to be there. You know, it's all about working. It's all about the work. You work, you work, and you make more. And someday some huge guy will put a, you know, he'll see you and grab you by the hand, and it's going to be a huge label manager. And it's going to make it, you know. It's if you say, we try to create it by ourselves. We do our own thing, you know. We run our own labels, you know, and we try to create our own kind of scene.
Yeah.
That's exactly why you look at it as something special, because we're not, you know, no one, we're not, you know, very... Nobody's trying to get a major to sign them.
No, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Essentially, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen when, in your own terms, in a sense. Otherwise, it has to be ready also. Yes,
that's what I'm saying about this change of from underground to commercial, because the ground is ready. You know, people do want to see it, but now it's like slowly, slowly. And you know, in a couple of months, Red X's are playing Coachella this year, and you know. It's kind of stuff that it grows, but it grows organically.
Are you optimistic about the Tel Aviv scene continuing to grow and continuing to develop a distinctive voice? I mean, do you think it has the, you know, whether or not it has the potential to be the next Berlin? Do you think is it on a trajectory to continue developing this really interesting voice?
I hope so, because I can say that Israelis are getting bored very fast about a lot of things. So you always need to create something new, you know.
Right.
This is the very American way. You got to find the next thing. But the good thing is that it creates this kind of passion to find the next thing inside of you, you know.
Yeah.
So we try to take it inside instead of outside, you know. We're not, again, it's the same thing about the sound. It's just because this is what we can do. So I look at myself. If I want to talk about myself, I always try to make something new, you know. And that's why none of the tracks sound the same. There is no, I couldn't hear any of my tracks that has the same sound. Of course, it has everything sounds like me, but none of them sounds the same. It's not like, okay, this is another one, another track that I create. Okay, let's do another one like this or something like that. So you always try to create more and more. And I think also I see a lot of young artists now in Tel Aviv that are trying, you know, to become, because, you know, success is a story that everybody wants to take part of.
Right.
And I think that, you know, they try to be there and create their own things. There are a lot of people that they're very unknown now for us even, you know, but they're coming all the time and we try to help them. I think the whole thing that I did with the label also, it was for us, so I could help another people to become more known, you know. It's a good gateway that I can't do it because I'm in Berlin, right. You know, and put more people on the map.
Yeah, you're the conduit to electronic music success. Well, that's a good transition, because I wanted to ask you about one of your tracks. So we're going to play some tracks, some of which you picked. The first one I picked, it's a track by you. It's called Mexican Cola Bottle Baby, and it's on your LP from last year. It's a really interesting track. I love it. I'm excited for people to hear it. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into the making of this track?
I heard that, if you want the honest truth, yeah. I heard Red X's tune "Son, My Sweet Son," and I said I want something like that. And this one happened, great. You know.
Yeah.
Pretty much, it's like, this is a good tune. It's like, I'm gonna make one also. And this is what happened, you know.
Did they think that you succeeded?
I don't know. It's so different. Mine is such a laid back kind of vibe. Totally. Theirs is very techno. You know, mine is very like this kind of Caribbean kind of, you know, sitting in the Caribbean and listening to weird stuff around you.
They never responded to your emails after. No,
kidding. No work.
Cool.
Okay. Well, here's another one, and you sent this to me in Hebrew, and so I'm just gonna obviously I have to have you tell me what the name of this song and the artist is on this one.
First one,
yeah.
I said?
Uh-huh.
The first one is it's called Rhetorical Band. It's one of my favorite all-time Israeli stuff. It's a guy named Yossi Elephant.
Yeah, we've heard of them actually.
Yeah, he died. So this is, he had a few bands, like a few projects, and this is one of their songs. It's called Seder Yom. It's like the order of the day. He's just talking about stuff that he's doing in the day. You know, it's a very emotional, but you can hear a lot of the influences about the music that I do, you know, that comes from, especially from him, the guitar sound that he has, it's something that I'm trying to reproduce all the time.
And this is like classic Israeli new wave, right?
Yeah, it's super, it's not very pop, because up until a few years ago, I mean, whoever been there at that period of time knew it, because like us playing in clubs in Tel Aviv, they used to play in clubs in Tel Aviv in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of thing. But I think our music is less emotional, way less emotional than like the 80s. We try to get these emotions, but I think it's way less. It had this like, I think we live in a very safe era. And less, of course, there's issues, always political issues, but less wars, like real wars, like throughout the country. Now it's a lot of things that are very, you know, it's in the south or in the north. It's not like coming to Tel Aviv, coming to the center of Israel. So I think it creates like a space to make music which is a little more happy.
Mm-hmm.
As Mexican cola, that you, if you think about it, you know, as opposed to 80s music in Israel, which is super dark.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, that's the title alone of your track. It's something that is completely detached from what's happening politically, yeah, in Israel. I mean, I couldn't think of a further theme, you know, than.
Yeah, than, yeah. I try to detach myself as much as possible, because when you're sucked into it, it's like, you know. Yeah. You can never, you know, you'd never find any sense in it.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point. You find in certain cultures, in certain communities in the past, you can definitely hear that in the U.S. in some genres of music, when communities struggle, where they're going through dark times, when they're going through a lot of violence. Some choose to be very political, of course, but some choose the opposite, to escape, you know, to create your own fantasy land, to create your own kind of landscape, what surrounds you, as a way to cope with the current climate.
I don't know. I think the governments will come and go. Music will stay forever. It's good. It's good for picturing the history. But there are other people that do it in Israel, and does. It's more maybe kind of hip hop, kind of gangster political rap kind of vibes, and this kind of music that we're not part of it. You know, we want to create more utopic. For ourselves, you know, more utopic kind of a different way. You know, the escapism is clear, you know, in what we do.
No, no, yeah, I understand. I mean, it's a way to also move on and planting those seeds to you start with a fantasy and hoping that that will become a reality eventually.
Yeah, and also to accept that you don't have control about everything.
Yeah.
let's move on to the next track. So Red Axe's Dream Like a Tale. There's a lot of great Red Axe's tunes. So why did you pick this one?
I don't know. When I heard that's from their first album, that's the tune that's closing the album. I think I still get chills when I hear it because this is a very... for me, it was like an opening shot for what we do, you know, to hear this and to know that we can release this kind of music, and we don't, like we spoke all about all this interview, we don't need to sound like anybody else to succeed, you know, in what we do. And you know, this closed the album, their first album, and I don't know, I just love it. It's just very on point, and very dark, and very who we are, you know. Who Israel is, you know, this kind of, you know, very scary place.
The second to the last track that we have here is by another contemporary artist, Atarkic, and the track is called UFO.
Lover is a tree. Lover is a solid one. Emerging from the bottom.
Yes, this is from his first record on my label. Again, like before, like the track from Red Axe's. This is a very you can hear. It's funny because if you compare between the tunes, they both have the same kind of dreamy, spacey vibe. But this is a very kind of different look, kind of because he did it in Berlin. It's a. Because he used to live in Berlin before he went back to Tel Aviv, and it's a very different approach. You know, it's way more lighter. Because the life in Berlin is, you know, nobody can say otherwise. It's really good. If you ignore the obvious stuff, you know, which is in every society, you know, the life there is very easy and very good.
Similar to Los Angeles.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Just better transportation.
Oh yeah, that's true. I can't argue with that. All right, and your last track is another one that is in Hebrew. So that's lay it on me.
That's from Mati Kaspi. Uh-huh. The name in Hebrew is Lo Yadati She'Tilchi Imeni, which is singing, I never imagined that you will leave me. I think this is my all-time favorite song. You know, this is a guy that's signed over, he has his name over, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 songs in Israel, which are every song everybody knows. You know, it's like, I don't know, he's the god of Israeli music. His influence is coming from everywhere. This is what I really like about it, because he can make samba, he can make Balkanic music, and he can do Mediterranean kind of style, and he does everything, you know. He's a real, like hit maker, you know.
And when was this recorded?
Let me see for a second, I think 1978.
And that seems to have been... a real turning point in time for Israeli music. I mean, it seems like when people have sent us tracks from, you know, sort of classic Israeli tracks that they like, it's almost invariably from the late 70s or later, you know, from the late 70s to the late 80s.
This is the victory era, you know? This is when everything, after 67, the War of 6 Days, and 73, the War of Yom Kippur, you know, since then Israel was invincible, you know. The music was very strong, you know. You could have been proud, you know, in the streets. That's what everybody used to tell. I think this is one of the reasons we look like we look, if you want to go political, because it's been deteriorating since these years. Because everything after winning this kind of wars against so many armies, you know, it's always been against Egypt, against Syria, against Lebanon, you know, this kind of, you know, everything. And in the last big war, it was like, you know, from Iraq, from Jordan, from everywhere you've been attacked. So this island of sanity, you know, it created a lot of great sounds at that period. Then I think the music in Israel pretty much, it became very grunge in the 90s and, you know, very kind of US rock, kind of four chords, you know, two more chords for the chorus, very boring kind of music. And now it's back. Now it's a very sophisticated music there. It's nice.
That's a great perspective. Yeah. What a great way to close us out.
Yeah, I like him.
Well, thanks, Moscow, for spending some time with us today. I was super enlightening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tradition and Transition was made possible by a grant from Asylum Arts, supporting contemporary Jewish culture on an international scale. Presented via Los Angeles radio station Dublab. Theme music by Cohen Beats, artwork by Palpel, and web programming by Brennan Mackey. Thank you for listening.